a werewolf shifter romance audiobook written by Catherine Stewart. Prologue. 2 centuries earlier, the memory came, as it always did, on the scent of burning pine, not the clean, fragrant smoke from his hearth, no, the acrid, panicked stench of a forest on fire. He stood on the ridge overlooking the valley, the modern world a distant, hazy glow beyond the horizon. But here, in the heart of the Blackwood, time was a liar. Here, it was always that night. His hands, calloused from a lifetime of shaping wood and breaking stone, clenched into fists. The phantom warmth of her hand in his. So real, he almost turned, expecting to see her. Midas. Her name. A shard of glass in his soul. He remembered her laughter. A sound like wind chimes in the ancient canopy. Her hair the color of autumn leaves catching the last light of day. They had been building their life in a small cabin nestled in the valley below, a place so remote the world had forgotten it existed, their sanctuary, their beginning. He had been careless, drunk on a love so profound it felt like the moon's own pull. He was a lichen of immense power, ancient and strong, and for the first time in centuries he had felt not just content, but whole. She was his mate, the other half of his spirit. And her presence had settled the restless beast within him into a purring, devoted guardian. That was the lie he had told himself. That love made him safe. The attackers, human hunters, emboldened by superstition and by greed. They hadn't come for him. No, they came for the land, for the timber. They came with torches. He remembered the smell of smoke first, a serpent slithering into their dreams. He remembered Midas's sleepy confusion turning to terror. He pushed her behind him, a worthless gesture against the inevitable. A low growl ripped from his chest. A promise. A bloody end for the mortals who dared threaten his world. The change was instantaneous, a torrent of fury and primal power. He became the monster they feared, a blur of black fur and silver-tipped claws. A whirlwind of snapping jaws and righteous rage. He was magnificent. He was terrifying. He was a force of nature, meant to protect his own. He tore through them. Their screams were swallowed by the roar of the fire they had set. It was a battle he could not lose. But the fire had no enemies. It consumed everything. It licked at the dry timber of their home with a hunger that matched his own. He turned from the last fallen hunter, blood slick on his maw, and saw it. The cabin engulfed, a cage of roaring orange light. He heard her scream his name once. He plunged into the inferno, his preternatural flesh sizzling, but he was too late. The collapsing roof, the suffocating smoke, the unforgiving heat, his power, the very thing meant to be her shield, had only served as a distraction. His rage had blinded him. In his haste to be her avenger, he had failed to be her savior. He pulled her from the wreckage, but she was gone. Her last breath. A ghost of smoke and fear. He knelt in the ashes of his world, her lifeless form in his arms. The beast within him silent for the first time, replaced by a howling human grief that was infinitely worse. The scent of her, of wildflowers and rain, was lost forever beneath the stench of burnt pine and his own failure. In that moment, a vow was forged in the crucible of his agony. A curse he placed upon himself. His love was destruction. His passion was an accelerant. The primal, possessive power of the mate bond was not a gift, but a weapon that pointed inward, destroying the one thing it was meant to protect. Never again. He would live, for the fates were cruel enough to grant him immortality. But he would be a fortress. He would push away connection. He would project a coldness so absolute it would freeze any spark of warmth before it could ignite another fire. He would master his wolf, chain his heart, and never, ever let another soul close enough to be burned by his love. He would be ruthless. It was the only way to be safe. It was the only way to keep her safe. The next, her. the one his cursed soul might someday recognize. Draven opened his eyes, the memory receding, leaving the familiar cold ache in its wake. The sun was rising on a new day, painting the sky in hues of rose and gold. Just another dawn, in a long, empty existence. He turned his back on the valley of his ghosts and walked deeper into the woods, alone. As he was meant to be. Chapter 1. Rhea Vance looked at the map. Then she looked at the trees. The town of Oakhaven was behind her, a place of cute shops and friendly faces. But the Blackwood Forest, it was something else. Old. It felt like it was watching her. She was an urban planner, a city girl. Her whole life was about logic, about data, about making systems work for people. And her new project, it was a big one. Find a way to build a new development without clear-cutting this ancient forest. The company just wanted to tear it all down. But Rhea believed there was a better way. There had to be. Moments later, a voice broke the silence. Quite the view, isn't it? Rhea turned. It was Liam, a junior developer from the company. Charming, with a smile that was just a little too smooth. He had been helpful. Maybe too helpful. It's incredible, Rhea said, her voice soft. It feels important. Liam chuckled, stepping closer. His cologne smelled sharp, a chemical scent that felt so wrong out here. It's a lot of trees, that's for sure. My bosses see it as a lot of money waiting to be made. But you see something else, don't you? Deep down, she knew the truth. She did. This forest felt more like a living thing than just a bunch of trees. She traced a thick red line on her map with her finger. The restricted area. The company was forbidden from even surveying there. And yet, she felt a pull toward it. A strange pull she couldn't explain with logic. I just see a challenge, she said, her voice firm, because she needed it to be. And I'm going to solve it. Liam's smile widened. I have no doubt you will, Rhea. And I'm here to help, in any way I can. He leaned in a little, his voice dropping. There are a lot of people in this town who don't want things to change. They can be difficult. Just be careful. Was that a warning? Or something else? She didn't know what scared her more. Instead of answering, she just nodded. She looked back at the forest. The shadows seemed longer now, deeper. And from within that deep, dark green, she could almost hear a whisper. A call. As if fate demanded it. She knew she had to go in there. She had to see it for herself. That's why she was here. To understand the land. No matter how hard she tried to focus on the data, her intuition, that little voice she always ignored, was screaming at her now. And it was telling her that the answers weren't on any map. Chapter 2. The next day, she went in. Rhea drove her all-terrain vehicle deep into a restricted part of the Blackwood. Her specialized GPS system, the best money could buy, should have been flawless. Her connection to the modern world. But then, it just died. The screen went black. No signal. Nothing. You have got to be kidding me, she muttered. Everything instantly felt heavier. The sounds of the forest, the birds, the rustling leaves, seemed to get louder. She tried a restart. Nothing. She banged it with her hand. Still nothing. Maybe it was fate. Or maybe it was just bad luck. She kept driving, relying on her compass, relying on her gut. The trees here were bigger, their branches like gnarled arms reaching for the sky. Moss hung from them like old men's beards. The light grew dim, even in the middle of the day. A strange, green, watery light. Again, it happened. Without warning, a violent lurch to one side. A sickening squelch echoed in the sudden quiet. She was stuck, deep in a hidden bog. The thick, black mud sucking at her tires like a hungry mouth. She tried to reverse. The engine whined, the tires spun uselessly, digging her deeper. Panic. Cold and sharp. Prickling at the edges of her logical mind. Alone. Isolated. And night was coming. With every heartbeat, the forest pressed in closer. She got out of the ATV, her boots sinking into the wet ground. Everywhere was thick with the smell of damp earth and something else, something wild and musky, a scent that was both frightening and strangely familiar. As the silence stretched, she felt it. Clear as day, she was being watched. Her thoughts spun. "It's just stress," she told herself, "just my city girl nerves." But her body knew better. Her instincts surged. The hair on her arm stood up. Her pulse raced. A twig snapped, loud, close. Her breath caught. Time stood still. She whipped around, her heart hammering against her ribs like a trapped bird. A shadow detached itself from the ancient trees. It was massive, taller than any man she'd ever seen. And it was moving toward her. Chapter 3. The moment their eyes locked, it hit him. A force of nature. A lightning strike to the soul. 2 centuries of iron control, shattered, in the span of a breath. Mate. The word was not a thought. It was a roar. A primal scream from the wolf chained deep inside him. He saw her. The wide, terrified eyes. The soft, determined chin. The way her dark hair curled around her face. But it was her scent that broke him. Wildflowers and rain. A scent he thought he'd never smell again. It was the scent of Midas. No, not Midas. It was her. His. And just like that, everything changed. His bones remembered her. His soul answered the call. A savage, possessive urge surged through him. Mine. Claim her. Protect her. But then, the other memory, the fire, the smoke, the suffocating agony of his failure, the vow made in the ashes of his world. My love is a curse, my touch is destruction. He saw it all happen again. This beautiful, vibrant creature in his arms, turning to ash. All because of him. Because his love was a fire he could not control. To make things worse, the instinct to claim her was a physical pain, a tearing in his chest. No, he would not do it. He would not let this happen. He would be the monster she saw. He would be the ruthless, heartless beast. It was the only way to save her, from himself. He emerged from the dense trees, and he was impossible. Huge. Not just tall, but wide. Built from the stone and wood of the forest itself, his shoulders were immense, his presence so powerful it felt like the air had been sucked from her lungs. He wore simple, dark clothes that couldn't hide the raw power radiating from him, but it was his eyes that stole her breath. They weren't just brown or green, they were gold, molten gold, and they were locked on her with a predatory intensity that made her skin burn. Her heart skipped, atmosphere thickened. Something inside her shifted, a strange, primal hum she'd never felt before. It was terror, yes, but it was mixed with something else, something wild, a dizzying magnetic pull, as if the world narrowed to just the two of them. He stopped a few feet away, his jaw clenched so tight she could see the muscles straining, his hands curled into massive fists. He looked at her not with curiosity or even anger, but with a deep, gut-wrenching agony. For a split second, she saw a universe of pain in those golden eyes. Then it was gone, replaced by a wall of ice. Without another word, he moved. Not toward her, but toward the ATV. His movements were silent, graceful in a way that defied his size. With what looked like no effort at all, he put his shoulder to the back of the vehicle and pushed. The ATV shot out of the bog with a wet pop, landing on solid ground. Rhea just stared, her mouth open. He turned back to her. The space between them burned. Under the weight of his stare, she felt small, fragile. "This land is off limits," he growled. His voice was a low rumble like rocks grinding together deep underground. It vibrated right through her, settling low in her belly. "Get out." Then, before she could even form a word, he simply turned and vanished back into the trees as silently as he had appeared. She was left shaking, her body buzzing with a strange energy. He hadn't just helped her. He hadn't just scared her. He had rejected her. The feeling was so absolute, so profound, it left a cold, aching void in her chest. Yet, her wolf pressed forward. No, that wasn't right. She didn't have a wolf. But something inside her, something fierce and ancient, was calling out into the empty forest, crying out for the man with the golden eyes. Chapter 4. Come morning. Rhea couldn't shake the forest from her mind, or more importantly, the man. His golden eyes haunted her, the raw power in his voice. It echoed in her ears. She tried to work, tried to focus on spreadsheets and zoning regulations, but it was useless. No matter how hard she tried, her thoughts kept drifting back to him. So, she did what she did best. She researched. It turned out the terrifying mountain man wasn't some random recluse. His name was Draven Thorne, and he owned Thorne Timber Salvage, a surprisingly high-end business that was central to Oakhaven's economy, which meant she couldn't avoid him. Her project, her whole reason for being here, would inevitably force her to deal with him. Her heart did a nervous little flip. As a result, she spent the rest of the day on edge. Every strange sound from the forest border felt like his footsteps. Every gust of wind seemed to carry his wild, musky scent. It was just stress, she told herself. It had to be, because the alternative was something her logical mind just couldn't accept. Moments later, her phone buzzed. Liam. Just checking in, his text read. Heard there was some trouble out by the old access road. You okay? Truth be told, she didn't know how he heard so fast. News traveled quickly in a small town, she guessed. Before she could type a reply, he sent another. Dinner tonight? My treat. We can brainstorm ways to smooth things over with the locals. She hesitated. On the one hand, a friendly face and a normal meal sounded wonderful. But on the other hand, something about Liam's charm felt rehearsed, calculated, unlike the raw, terrifying honesty she'd seen in Draven's pained eyes. Deep down, she knew the truth. She was making excuses, because the thought of a simple dinner felt boring. Her world had tilted yesterday. Something inside her shifted, all because of a man who looked at her like she was both his salvation and his damnation. That night, she found herself walking near the edge of the woods, the lights of Oakhaven behind her. The air was cooler here, cleaner. The scent of pine and damp earth filled her lungs, and for the first time, it didn't feel scary. It felt like a welcome, like coming home to a place she'd never been before. Her new reality was confusing, and she knew she had to face it head-on, starting with the unavoidable presence at its center. Chapter 5. The next day, the trouble found her. Two burly men, dusty jeans, company hats. They cornered her while she was surveying a patch of land near the river. They weren't smiling. "You're a long way from the city, little lady," the first one said, his voice greasy. He took a step closer. "Maybe you should head on back before you get lost." Her pulse raced. She stood her ground, clutching her clipboard like a shield. "I have a permit to be here." "We got a permit too," the second one sneered. "A permit to encourage you to leave." Before she could move, a loud crack. A huge dead branch from an old oak tree snapped and came crashing down, landing right in the path of their truck. It didn't hit them, but it was close enough to make them jump back. They stared at the branch, then at each other, their faces pale. As if that wasn't enough, the winch on their truck suddenly sputtered to life, the cable unspooling and tangling itself into an impossible, useless knot. "What in the—" the first one started. They looked around, their eyes wide and spooked. The forest was silent again. But now, the silence felt heavy. Watched. Without another word, they scrambled into their truck and sped away, leaving Rhea alone, her heart pounding.
From his hiding spot on the ridge, Draven watched them go. A low, rumbling growl vibrated in his chest. His wolf had wanted to tear them limb from limb. For cornering her. For threatening her. "Mine. Protect," Instead, he'd used the forest. A nudge of his power. A whispered command to the old oak. A flicker of energy to short out their winch. It was cleaner. It kept him hidden. But it wasn't enough. The sight of her, so defiant and so fragile, had stoked the fire in his gut. The bond pulsed between them, a living thing. Later that afternoon, he saw her again, in town, talking to that developer, Liam. The man stood too close. He smiled too much. When Liam put a hand on her arm, a possessive black fury roared through Draven. He couldn't stop himself. His body moved on instinct. Liam was saying something about filing a complaint, his hand resting on her arm in a way that was supposed to be comforting but just made her skin crawl. Without warning, a massive shadow fell over them. It was Draven. He'd appeared out of nowhere, silent as a ghost. He didn't look at Liam. He didn't even look at her. He just stepped between them, his towering presence a solid wall of intimidation. Liam snatched his hand back as if he'd been burned. "Excuse me," Liam stammered, trying to sound tough. "We're having a conversation here." Draven finally turned his head. His golden eyes landed on Liam with the force of a physical blow. The air crackled. The temperature seemed to drop 10 degrees. He didn't say a word. He didn't have to. Liam paled. He took a step back. He suddenly remembered he had to be somewhere else. He practically ran. Rhea turned on Draven, her frustration boiling over. "What do you think you're doing? You can't just go around scaring people like that." Draven's burning gaze finally shifted to her. For a heartbeat, she saw that same flash of agony, of a desperate losing battle. Her chest ached in response. But then the ice wall slammed back into place. He just stared at her for a long moment, the silence roaring between them, before he turned and walked away, leaving her with more questions than answers. She was starting to suspect he was involved in her lucky break earlier, and that thought was more terrifying and more thrilling than any threat from the developers.
Chapter 6. She had to know. The next afternoon, Rhea drove her ATV straight to the address she'd found for Thorn Timber Salvage. Environment grew thick with the clean, sharp scent of sawdust, long before she saw the mill. It was a huge, sprawling place. A mix of old stone buildings and modern machinery. Stacks of massive logs, bigger than cars, towered everywhere. A place of raw power, just like its owner. She found him near a giant, silent saw. He was stripped to the waist, his back to her, swinging an axe to split a log that looked as wide as she was tall. His back was a roadmap of corded muscle, his skin tanned and gleaming with a light sheen of sweat. As he moved, the muscles shifted and coiled with a fluid grace that was mesmerizing. Her breath caught. As if he'd heard the tiny sound, he stopped. He slowly turned, his golden eyes finding her instantly. Scent thickened. Time stood still. "I told you to stay away," he said, his voice a low, dangerous rumble. She lifted her chin, her heart hammering. "I'm not afraid of you." A lie. A huge lie. But she said it anyway. "Was it you? Yesterday? The branch? The winch? Was that you protecting me?"
Her, here, in his space, in his sanctuary. Her scent of wildflowers and rain driving him insane. He wanted to throw his head back and roar. He wanted to cross the space between them, bury his face in her hair, and brand her as his. The bond was a physical torment, a fire blooming beneath his skin. He had to get her away from him. Now, for her own safety. He dropped the axe. It thudded into the chopping block. With every step he took toward her, his wolf screamed in triumph. He fought it down. He channeled all his rage, all his self-hatred into his eyes. He would be the monster. He had to be the monster. Because if he was the man, he would fall to his knees and beg her to save him.
He stalked toward her. He didn't stop until her back was pressed against a towering stack of freshly cut logs. The rough bark bit into her thin shirt. He put his hands on the logs on either side of her head, caging her in. His body was a furnace, the heat rolling off him in waves, his primal masculine scent, pine, sawdust, and something uniquely, dangerously him, flooded her senses, making her head spin. His face was inches from hers, so close she could see the flecks of darker gold in his burning eyes. So close she could see the agony warring with the fury. "Stay, away from what doesn't concern you," he growled, his voice vibrating through her bones. "Stay out of my forest. And stay away from me." As he spoke, she stood her ground. Her body moved on instinct. Her hand lifted as if to push him away. The moment their hands brushed, skin against skin, a jolt. Pure electricity shot up her arm. Not a spark, a lightning strike. A searing, brilliant heat that flooded her veins, both terrifying and intoxicatingly wonderful. His breath hitched. He recoiled from her touch as if he'd been electrocuted, his eyes wide with shock and fear. Was that fear? The space between them burned with what he'd left behind. In the quiet that followed, she could only stare at him, her lips parted, her entire body trembling with the aftershock of their touch. And she knew, with a certainty that defied all logic, that she would do the exact opposite of what he'd just told her to do. Chapter 7. In the quiet that followed their encounter, Rhea's world felt different, sharper. The logical, ordered city girl she thought she was, she felt like a stranger. Now, when she walked near the edge of the Blackwood, the world was overwhelmingly loud. No matter how hard she tried to ignore it, her senses were on fire. She could smell the rain coming hours before the sky darkened. She could hear the rustle of a single mouse in the undergrowth 100 feet away. Then there were the whispers. When the wind blew through the tall pines, it wasn't just a mindless sigh anymore. Beneath the sound, almost a language she'd forgotten. "Come, closer, child of the forest." She told herself it was stress. It had to be. What's worse, she felt a new strange urge deep in her bones, especially when the moon was high and bright. An ache, a desperate need, to kick off her shoes and just run. To run wild through the trees until her lungs burned and her feet were caked in dirt. She craved it, like a starving woman craves food. Deep down, she knew the truth. This wasn't stress. Something inside her was waking up. That jolt of electricity when she touched Draven. It hadn't just startled her. It had unlocked something. A door to a room she never knew existed inside her own soul. Was this what he was? Was this what she was becoming? Just as her thoughts spun into a terrifying spiral, her phone buzzed. An anonymous text. A single cryptic message. "They're not waiting for your plan. Sector 4. They're burning it." Sector 4. The heart of the restricted zone. Before she could think, before she could weigh the risks, her body moved on instinct. She grabbed her keys and ran for her ATV, because the thought of the forest burning felt like her own skin was on fire. Chapter 8. She smelled the fire long before she saw it. The smoke, thick, acrid, it choked the air, it burned her newly sensitive nose. When she arrived, it was worse than she imagined. Flames licked up the trunks of ancient trees. An angry fire. Deliberate. It was illegal. It was monstrous. As if pulled by a string, she grabbed her camera, determined to get evidence. She moved along the edge of the blaze, the heat scorching her face. But then, the wind shifted. A towering, half-burnt oak groaned, its roots giving way. Without warning, it came crashing down. Panic seized her. She scrambled back, but it was too late. A cage of burning branches and heavy timber fell around her, trapping her in a circle of fire. Smoke filled her lungs. Her eyes watered. Terror, pure and absolute, stole her breath. She was going to die here.
He had been following her. He couldn't help it. Her scent was a beacon, his wolf, a frantic, snarling beast inside him, demanding he keep her safe. The moment he smelled the smoke, he knew. He knew she would be foolish enough, brave enough, to come running. When he saw the tree fall, saw her disappear behind a wall of flame, his control snapped. The vow he made in ashes turned to smoke. His fear was nothing compared to the roaring, absolute certainty that he could not live in a world without her in it. Between one breath and the next, the man gave way to the monster.
Through the shimmering heat and smoke, a shape exploded into her prison of fire. Not a man, bigger, darker, a blur of terrifying speed and impossible strength. She saw a flash of brilliant gold eyes, heard a guttural roar that was not human, and watched as this creature tore apart the burning logs with its bare hands, clearing a path. As if summoned, it was suddenly in front of her, pulling her out of the inferno and into the cool, clean air. She coughed, gasping. When she looked up, the monster was gone. In its place stood Draven. He was panting heavily, his chest heaving, his face streaked with soot. And on his powerful forearm, a deep, angry gash wept blood. The wound from a flaming branch he had shattered to get to her. He had saved her. But the terrifying power she had just witnessed was a new, frightening piece of his puzzle. Chapter 9. "You're hurt," she whispered, her voice trembling. Draven looked down at the deep, bleeding gash on his arm as if just noticing it. "It's nothing." He started to turn away, to retreat back into his fortress of solitude. "No." Her voice was stronger than she expected. Before the words left her lips, she was moving, reaching for him. "Let me help you." For once, he didn't pull away. He stood as still as a stone statue as she gently took his arm. The heat from his skin was incredible, a bonfire that warmed her down to her chilled bones. Without thinking, she tore a long strip from the hem of her own shirt and gently, carefully, began to clean the soot away from the wound. The moment her fingers brushed against his hot skin, a low groan rumbled deep in his chest. Her eyes shot to his. It wasn't a sound of physical pain. It was something else entirely. Something deeper. An agony of need that mirrored the ache in her own soul. As her wolf stirred, she saw past the ruthless facade, past the anger, and saw the truth of him. She saw a man drowning in a century of loneliness.
Her touch, torture, and heaven. Every gentle wipe of the cloth against his skin was a fresh hell, shredding the last of his control. But it was also a balm, a healing touch his soul had been starved of for 200 years. The bond between them pulsed, a living, breathing thing that sang with joy and screamed with warning. He could feel her concern, her surprising lack of fear. And that was the most dangerous thing of all, because it gave him hope. He couldn't stop his hand from covering hers, pressing her palm against his arm. He needed to feel her, just for a second. When his hand covered hers, his eyes locked with hers. The world fell away. There was only the crackle of the dying fire, the scent of pine and smoke, and the unbearable, beautiful weight of his gaze. He looked at her as if she were the first drop of rain after a lifetime of drought. Then, after she finished wrapping the makeshift bandage, he let go. He took a step back. The connection broke. Later that night, Draven stood alone in his secluded cabin. The memory of her touch was a brand on his skin. He had failed. He had let her close. He had let her see his weakness. A savage growl ripped from his throat. His eyes flashed gold. With a roar of self-loathing, he picked up a sturdy wooden chair and smashed it against the stone wall, the splintering wood a perfect echo of his own fractured soul. He had to push her away. He had to, before he truly destroyed her.
Chapter 10. In the stillness that followed, the developers stopped playing games. They got serious. One night, she came back to her small apartment to find the door unlocked. The lock itself jimmied. Nothing was stolen, but everything was out of place. A silent, chilling message: "We can get to you anytime we want." After that, her project data on her laptop was corrupted. Weeks of work, gone. They were trying to break her, to make her run. What's worse, her own senses were betraying her. The sounds of town were too loud. The smells of food from the diner were overwhelming. And everywhere, everywhere. She felt a presence just at the edge of her senses, a protective shadow she couldn't see. Draven. Her bones remembered him and they told her he was close. Moments later, Liam was at her door, his face a perfect mask of concern. "Rhea, this has gone too far," he said, stepping inside. "A break-in? This is insane." "I am being careful," she said, her voice tight. He paced her small living room. "Look, I've been thinking. Maybe there's a compromise, a version of the plan the company can live with. It's not perfect, but it would get this project done. More importantly, it would get these guys off your back. It would keep you safe." She looked at him. Really looked at him. Was he trying to help her? Or was he trying to help his company? She didn't know what scared her more. Because his safer option meant giving up. It meant letting them win. It meant betraying the forest. "I'll think about it," she lied. Deep down, she knew the truth. She would never give in. Not only that, she felt a strange, fierce loyalty to the Wild Woods and to the tormented man who guarded it. Even so, she was scared. She felt hunted, isolated, and she was starting to wonder if she could really win this fight alone.
Chapter 11. He watched from the trees as the two thugs ambushed her. This time, they weren't just trying to scare her. Their movements were harder, meaner. One of them grabbed her arm, and in that moment, the world went red. The beast he kept chained inside him didn't just roar, it broke free. The promise he'd made to Midas shattered, because a new vow screamed louder. Protect her, at any cost. He didn't think, he just moved. Rhea's POV. One of the thugs twisted her arm behind her back. Pain, sharp and hot, shot up to her shoulder. The other one grinned, his teeth yellow. Time to go for a little walk, sweetheart. Before she could scream, a blur of motion exploded from the trees. It was Draven, but it wasn't. He moved faster than humanly possible, a terrifying, silent predator. He didn't just fight them, he dismantled them. A guttural snarl ripped from his throat, a sound so savage it shook the leaves on the trees. As he threw one of the men aside like a rag doll, she saw his face in the dappled sunlight. And her world tilted. His eyes. They weren't just gold. They were glowing with a fierce inner light. His canines seemed longer, sharper. His features were twisted in a mask of primal fury and pure agony. He wasn't just a man in a rage. He was something else. He disabled the second man with brutal efficiency, then stood panting over their groaning forms. As the silence roared, his glowing, tormented gaze snapped to hers. She saw it all then, his power, his pain, the reason for his ruthlessness. It wasn't malice, it was suffering. And just like that, everything changed. Without another word, he melted back into the shadows of the forest, leaving her standing there, her heart pounding not just with fear, but with a dawning, heartbreaking understanding. The question was no longer what he was, it was why. Why did it hurt him so much to be it?
Chapter 12. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't get the image out of her head. Draven's face, twisted in that agonizing mix of fury and pain. The supernatural power, the glowing eyes. Her logical world was shattered, and she was done trying to glue it back together. So the next day, she went back to the edge of his property, not to confront him. Not yet. Instead, she placed a single, perfect white wildflower on a fence post she knew he would pass. A silent message. "I'm not scared. I see you." She did it again the next day, leaving a smooth gray stone she'd found in the river. She didn't know why. Maybe it was fate. Or maybe it was just a foolish hope that she could reach the man hiding inside the monster.
He found the flower, its soft white petals, a stark contrast to his calloused, rough hands. Its simple beauty, a quiet torment. He found the stone the next day. It was cool and smooth in his palm. Each small gift was a gentle knock on the door of the prison he'd built around his heart, and it was killing him. He could handle her anger. He could handle her fear. But her tenderness, her quiet, persistent refusal to be pushed away, that was a weapon he had no defense against. With every step she took toward him, the bond pulsed stronger and more demanding. His wolf paced restlessly inside him, whining for its mate, for the gentle hand that left offerings instead of accusations. He pressed the cool stone to his forehead, a low groan escaping his lips. She had to stop. She had to go away. Before he gave in, before he forgot the ashes and the smoke, before he pulled her into his cursed world and destroyed the only good thing he had felt in centuries. As if summoned, her phone rang. It was her inside source from the planning office, an older woman who loved the forest. "Rhea, it's happening," the woman's panicked voice whispered. "The company. They're not waiting for approval anymore. They're mobilizing the heavy machinery. They're going to clear-cut the heart of the ancient woods, and they're starting tonight." Her heart skipped. The time for leaving rocks and flowers was over.
Chapter 13. The phone call ended. But the words echoed. Panicked. Insistent. "They're starting tonight." Her blood ran cold. Before she could think, her body moved on instinct. Out the door, on her ATV, racing toward the heart of the Blackwood. The engine roared, a poor imitation of the fury roaring in her own chest. This time the forest felt different. It wasn't just a place she was trying to save. Deep down, she knew the truth. It felt like a part of her. Every gust of wind, a pained breath, every shadow, a bruise. The whispers she'd heard before were now a desperate, silent scream, and only she could hear it. As her wolf stirred, a protective rage she had never known filled her. A primal, possessive anger. They were hurting her forest. They were hurting her home. By the time she reached the site, the devastation had already begun. Massive floodlights bleached the color from the ancient woods, turning the night into a harsh, ugly day. The ground trembled with the roar of diesel engines. Again she saw it, the first of the giants, groaning. It tilted, its massive branches scraping against its neighbors in a final, desperate plea, before it crashed to the earth. A sound like a bone breaking in her own body. Her breath caught. Tears streamed down her face, hot and angry. But this was no time for tears. She saw the foreman, a hard-faced man with a radio, directing his crew. They had armed security, men with cold eyes and heavy boots. No matter how hard she tried to be logical, she knew this was a fight she couldn't win with data or reports. Yet, she had to try. She jumped off her ATV and marched into the light straight toward them, a lone figure against a wall of steel and destruction.
Chapter 14. The sound of the first ancient falling was a cannon shot to his soul. From his cabin, he could feel the vibrations, a death tremor running through the land he was sworn to protect. The scent of diesel fuel was an oil slick in the clean night air. But then, a different scent cut through the poison. Wildflowers and rain. Rhea. He closed his eyes. A vision of fire filled his mind. Midas's scream, swallowed by the flames. The memory was a physical blow, a fresh agony. His vow, forged in those ashes, screamed at him. "Stay away. Your love is a curse. You will destroy her too." To keep her safe, he had to remain in his prison of fear. He had to let her face the danger alone. But then, another image. Rhea, defiant, fragile, crushed by a falling tree. A security guard's rough hands grabbing her. The bond, it pulsed with a frantic, desperate terror. In that moment, the two fears went to war inside him. The fear of his curse and versus the terror of losing her. And just like that, the battle was over. The thought of a world without her in it was not just unbearable. It was an impossibility. A void he refused to accept. As if fate demanded it, he made his choice. His wolf, chained for 2 centuries, roared in triumph, and for the first time. Draven roared with it. The curse was not his love. The curse was his fear. He would no longer be its prisoner. He moved with grim resolve. A silent, terrifying force of nature, now fully unleashed. He was coming for his mate.
Chapter 15. You need to stop. This is illegal, Rhea yelled at the foreman, her voice nearly lost in the roar of the machinery. The foreman just laughed, a cruel, ugly sound. The only thing illegal here, sweetheart, is you. Get her. Two security guards moved toward her, their expressions blank. She took a step back, her heart hammering. She was outmatched, alone, and terrified. But she wouldn't run. She couldn't. Just as the first guard reached for her, a blur of darkness shot out of the woods. Draven. Between one breath and the next, he was there. A whirlwind of savage precision. He slammed into the first guard, sending him flying. He moved with the inhuman speed she'd seen before, but this was different. This wasn't a monster losing control. This was a warrior. Controlled. Focused. Lethal. He placed himself squarely in front of her, a living shield between her and the danger. His golden eyes scanned the remaining guards and a low, guttural growl rumbled in his chest, a clear promise of violence. Truth be told, she had never felt safer in her entire life. He engaged the others, the fight a brutal, efficient dance. He never took his eyes off his targets, yet she felt his awareness of her in every move he made. He was a terrifying, beautiful force. And he was fighting for her. But then, as he dealt with one guard, another one broke free, lunging at her from the side. She saw him coming, but she was too slow to react. Her world tilted. This was it. As the guard's hands reached for her throat, a blinding white-hot energy erupted inside her. Not a thought. Not a choice. A primal, desperate instinct to survive. Chapter 16. As the guard's hands reached for her, the white-hot energy inside her exploded. Not power. Pain. A thousand shards of glass ripping through her veins. A guttural scream tore from her throat. A sound she didn't recognize as her own. Her bones. Oh God, her bones. They were breaking, twisting, reforming into a shape that was not human. The world dissolved into a blur of agony and terror. There was no sleek, beautiful wolf. There was only a gruesome, half-finished state of being trapped between two forms. She was a raw nerve of instinct and pain, a creature of nightmare. She lashed out blindly, a monstrous thing of twisted limbs and raw fury.
He watched, and his soul turned to ice. It was happening. His worst fear. A living nightmare. His presence. The intensity of the fight. The raw power of the mate bond he'd let run wild. It had ripped her human self apart. He hadn't just saved her. He had doomed her. He saw Midas in the flames. He saw Rhea in a prison of her own flesh. His curse was real. His love was destruction. With cold, dead precision, he finished with the last conscious guard, ensuring none of them would be getting up anytime soon. Sirens wailed in the far distance. Help was coming. But it was too late. He had already destroyed the only thing that mattered. He turned back to the monstrous, thrashing form on the ground. The sight of her agony was a knife in his heart, twisting with 2 centuries of guilt. I did this, the thought repeated, a funeral drum in his mind. I did this to her, just like before. He couldn't breathe. He couldn't think. All he could feel was the suffocating weight of his own monstrous nature.
Chapter 17. As the sirens grew closer, the chaotic energy pouring from her began to recede. The terrible sounds of her transformation reversed. A symphony of agony played backward. He wanted to go to her, to hold her, to absorb her pain into himself. But he couldn't. His touch was poison. His presence. The disease. To approach her now would be the cruelest act of all. So he stood frozen, his face a mask of profound agony and self-loathing. He couldn't look at her. He had broken her. The pain slowly faded, leaving her shaking and empty on the cold, damp earth. She was naked, bruised, covered in dirt. Her mind was a shattered mirror, reflecting a horror she couldn't comprehend. The last of the monstrous form melted away, leaving her human again, and utterly, completely terrified. She pushed herself up on trembling arms. Her first instinct, her only instinct, was to look for Draven. She saw him standing several feet away, a dark statue against the flashing lights of the approaching vehicles. His back was rigid, his fists were clenched. He was staring at the ground, his broad shoulders trembling. Draven! Her voice was a raw, broken whisper. She needed him. She needed answers. She needed comfort. She needed him to tell her everything was going to be okay. But he didn't move. He didn't speak. He didn't even look at her. In that moment, her terror curdled into a new kind of despair. He was looking at her with disgust, with horror. She was a monster now, and he couldn't stand the sight of her. The man who had fought for her, the man whose touch had felt like lightning, was now rejecting her completely. Her human world was shattered, and now, her new one was too. All seemed lost. She was utterly, terrifyingly alone.
Chapter 18. What's wrong with me? She cried, the words tearing from her raw throat as the sounds of the sirens got closer. What did you do to me? That was the blow that finally broke him. Her words hit him harder than any physical weapon. What did you do to me? She thought he had done this to her on purpose, that this curse was a gift from him. The thought was so monstrous, so far from the truth, that the dam of his control, held for 200 years, finally crumbled into dust. He fell to his knees. The strong, unshakable Lycan, the ruthless, terrifying Alpha, was on the ground, his face in his hands, his body racked with tremors that shook him to his very soul. He lifted his head. His golden eyes, stripped of all their anger and ice, were just two pools of agonizing, endless torment. No, he choked out, the word thick with centuries of unshed tears. Not to you. Never to you. The confession poured out of him then, a desperate, broken torrent of guilt and grief. It wasn't a gift. It was a curse. My curse. He told her everything. He told her about Midas, about the fire, the hunters, the way his own rage had blinded him until it was too late. He told her about the vow he had made in the ashes, the belief that his love was a destructive fire. I pushed you away. Because I was trying to save you, he confessed, his voice ragged. Every time I was cold, every time I was cruel, I was fighting my own soul. I was fighting the bond, because I saw what it did to her. I thought I would destroy you too. Tonight, when I saw you in danger, I chose you over my fear, and I still destroyed you. He finally looked at her. His expression utterly shattered. I am a monster, Rhea. His voice trembled. And I have made you one too.
Chapter 19. In the quiet that followed, the weight of his confession settled in the air between them. He waited. He waited for the fear, for the disgust, for her to scramble away from the monster he now knew he was. He deserved it. After all, it was the truth. His golden eyes, filled with two centuries of self-hatred, stayed fixed on the ground. He couldn't bear to see the horror on her face. He had lost everything. Again, his story echoed in the space around them. Midas, the fire, the curse he had placed on himself, her own terror, her own pain from her transformation, it all melted away, replaced by a wave of breathtaking, heartbreaking empathy. He wasn't a monster. He was a prisoner. A prisoner of his own grief and guilt. Deep down, she knew the truth. The ruthless Lycan was a facade, a shield to protect the world from his broken heart, and to protect his heart from breaking again. Before she could think, her body moved on instinct. She crawled across the damp earth toward him, her movements slow, deliberate. She knelt in front of him, right in the dirt and leaves. With a trembling hand, she reached out and touched his cheek, her fingers gently brushing against his tear-stained, rough skin. His head snapped up, his eyes wide with shock. "You are not a curse, Draven," she whispered, her voice firm and clear in the night air. The wind carried his name, and her soul answered. "Your power, what you did for me, that was a gift. And your pain, I see it. I'm not afraid." Her thumb stroked his cheek. "I choose you." Flaws and all, her words, her touch. They were a balm on a wound he thought was fatal. A fragile light in an endless, lonely darkness. No one had touched him with such tenderness in 200 years. Hope, a feeling so foreign it was painful, ignited in his chest. Between one breath and the next, he surged forward, his mouth capturing hers in a desperate, claiming kiss. It wasn't gentle. It was a raw, soul-deep expression of all his pent-up desire, his centuries of loneliness, and the fragile, terrifying hope that she was real. That this was real. And in that moment, under the weight of his stare and the heat of his lips, he felt the chains around his heart begin to crack.
Chapter 20. After the kiss. A kiss that felt like a promise. Draven finally led her away from the flashing lights and distant sirens. He took her to his cabin, a place built of dark wood and stone, nestled so deep in the forest it felt like a secret. Inside, a fire was burning low in a great stone hearth. The whole place smelled of wood smoke, pine, and him. It wasn't a monster's lair. It was a sanctuary, a lonely one. He gave her a soft, worn flannel shirt that smelled of him. It swallowed her whole, but it was warmer and more comforting than anything she had ever worn. As she sat by the fire, he tended to the small cuts she'd gotten during her ordeal, his huge, rough hands surprisingly gentle. "Your senses," he said, his voice a low rumble, softer now. "They'll be stronger. The sounds of the world, the scents, it will be overwhelming at first." She looked at him, at the cautious hope in his golden eyes. "And the moon? That feeling? That need to run?" A sad, small smile touched his lips for the first time. "That's the wolf. Your wolf. She wants to be free. It's a part of you now." He wasn't just giving her answers. He was trusting her with his world. He was showing her the man beneath the pain, the gentle giant beneath the ruthless facade. Because of that, she felt a sense of belonging she hadn't realized she'd been searching for her entire life. This wild, beautiful, and dangerous world was hers now too, and she wouldn't have to face it alone. Watching her by his fire, wrapped in his shirt, was a special kind of beautiful torture. Every instinct screamed at him to go to her, to finish what they'd started. But he held back. He had to. He had almost broken her once. He would not make that mistake again. So, he taught her instead. He explained the pull of the moon, the language of the forest, the way her human logic and her wolf's instinct would now be forever at war and forever united. And as he spoke, he saw not fear in her eyes, but a growing curiosity, a strength. And he realized, she was not like Midas. She was not a fragile thing to be broken by his world. In fact, she might just be strong enough to save him from himself.
Chapter 21. They were sitting in a comfortable silence when his head snapped up, his eyes narrowed, his posture, instantly, dangerously alert. The bond pulsed, a silent alarm. "What is it?" Rhea asked, her own senses clearly picking up on his sudden tension. "They're coming back," he growled, a low, menacing sound. He rose to his feet, a predator once more. "The developers. They're not running. They're regrouping. For a final push." His gaze met hers, and for the first time, it was not filled with fear or torment, but with a grim shared resolve. Her heart skipped. But it wasn't a beat of fear. It was a beat of determination. The time for healing and quiet moments was over. It was time to fight. "So what do we do?" she asked, standing to join him. In that moment, they weren't a broken man and a confused woman. They were a team. A pack. My knowledge of this forest is my weapon, Draven said, his voice firm. But their world, your world, that is a battlefield I don't understand. She felt a surge of confidence, a perfect blend of her old logical self and her new wild instincts. And my mind is mine. I know how they think, how they operate. I know how to use their systems against them. There are others, Draven admitted, the words seeming to cost him something. A few, like me, deep in the woods. They trust no one, especially not me, but they will fight to protect the heart of the forest. It was a huge admission, a sign of his growing trust in her, and in the idea of not being alone. Then we get them, Rhea said, her voice ringing with a strength she didn't know she possessed. We use my strategy and your strength. We use your allies and my knowledge. We fight them together. Without another word, they moved toward the door. A united front against the coming storm. The final battle was on the horizon. But for the first time, neither of them would be facing it alone. The final push was about to begin.
Chapter 22. The moment they arrived at the desecrated clearing, the roar of engines was a declaration of war. But this time, she was not afraid. As the bond pulsed between her and Draven, a fierce, exhilarating power rose to meet it. He gave her a single, sharp nod, together. And then, she embraced the change. It was still painful, a fire in her bones, but it was quick now, purposeful. Her human thoughts remained, married to the instincts of a predator. She became a sleek, gray wolf, smaller and faster than Draven, her mind a razor-sharp tool of strategy. While Draven, now a massive black lichen of terrifying power, met the main security force head-on, she darted through the shadows. Her mission wasn't to fight, it was to cripple. With a wolf's agility and a planner's mind, she identified key weaknesses. She chewed through hydraulic lines, sent machinery grinding to a halt. She tripped up guards. A gray blur of fur and teeth that created chaos in their ranks, he fought with a clarity he hadn't felt in centuries. This was not the blind rage that had cost him Midas. This was a cold, controlled fury. Every blow precise, every move calculated. Because this time, he wasn't just an avenger. He was a protector. He could feel Rhea through the bond, her cleverness, her courage, her wild joy, and it fueled him, making him stronger. His love was not a curse. It was his greatest weapon. He was fighting for her, and more importantly, he was fighting with her. He cornered the foreman, the man trembling before his massive form. A deep, guttural growl rumbled in his chest, a sound that promised a painful end.
As Draven held the terrified foreman, Rhea, back in her human form but with her wolf's sharp senses, produced a recorder. She held it up. "Tell me everything," she commanded, her voice ringing with the authority of an alpha. "Tell me who gave the orders. Tell me how you've been breaking the law, or I'll let him go." The man crumbled, his confession a panicked, tumbling rush of words. They had them. They had won. The forest was safe. After that, she looked at Draven, at her mate, and saw not a monster, but her hero, his golden eyes, finally at peace.
Chapter 23. As the first police cars arrived, the developer's crew was rounded up, their fight gone. The forest fell into a weary, peaceful silence, broken only by the chirping of crickets. In the quiet that followed, he and Rhea stood together, bruised and exhausted, but whole. From the shadows of the woods, two other shifters emerged, the ones he had reluctantly called, allies he hadn't spoken to in 100 years. They looked at the scene, then at Rhea, and finally at him. They gave a slow, respectful nod, an acknowledgement of his new standing, of his new mate, a sign that his long, self-imposed exile was over. He turned to Rhea, his heart so full he thought it might burst. He gently cupped her face in his large hands, his thumb stroking her cheek. "You did it," he murmured, his voice thick with an emotion he was no longer afraid to feel. You saved the forest. And you saved me.
Tears welled in her eyes, but they were tears of joy, of relief, of a love so profound it settled deep in her bones. She leaned into his touch, feeling the warmth of his skin, the strength in his hands. No, she whispered, her soul answering his. We did it, together. He lowered his head and kissed her. And this time, there was no desperation. There was no pain. It was a kiss of pure, unadulterated love, a promise of sunrises, of shared silences, of a future she never could have imagined. In that moment, standing in the heart of their forest, she knew she was finally home. The authorities could handle the rest. Her work as an urban planner was done, but her new work, as a guardian of this wild, magical place, and as the mate to its fierce, gentle protector, was just beginning. She had gone from a woman who believed only in systems to a woman who believed in the undeniable truth of her own heart. And as Draven led her back toward the sanctuary of his cabin, she knew with absolute certainty that this was her new, wonderful reality.
Chapter 24. 6 months later. Rhea stood on the porch of their cabin, a steaming mug of coffee in her hands. Their cabin, what was once a lonely fortress, was now a home, filled with her books, her sketches, and the lingering scent of their mingled lives. Come morning, the sun filtered through the leaves, painting the porch in shifting patterns of gold. It was peaceful. It was perfect. Draven came up behind her, wrapping his strong arms around her waist and pulling her back against his solid chest. He nuzzled her neck, a low, happy rumble vibrating through her. It was a sound she had come to cherish. What are you thinking about? He murmured into her hair. About our new project, she said with a smile, leaning her head back against his shoulder. She gestured with her mug to a set of plans on the small wooden table. A proposal for a small, sustainable eco-tourism center at the edge of the forest. A project that would celebrate the Blackwood, not destroy it. A project they were working on together.
He smiled. A genuine, easy expression that was now as much a part of him as his golden eyes. He looked at the woman in his arms, his mate, his partner, the woman who had walked through his fire and taught him how to live again. She was confident, powerful, and so full of life it took his breath away. She had fully embraced her wolf, finding a perfect balance between her sharp mind and her wild heart. He was no longer the ruthless lichen. He was still a protector, still a guardian. But the torment was gone, replaced by a deep, abiding love for the woman who had broken his curse not with magic, but with a simple, powerful choice. The choice to see a man, instead of a monster. He tightened his arms around her, breathing in her familiar, beautiful scent of wildflowers and rain. I love you, Rhea, he said. The words as easy and natural as breathing. She turned in his arms, her eyes shining with love and a hint of wild mischief. I love you too, she replied, her voice a happy whisper. Now, about that eastern trail. He laughed, a sound that echoed through the peaceful woods. Their life was here, in this sanctuary, a perfect fusion of his world and hers, the past, a healed scar, and the future. A wide open path they would walk together. Always. Epilogue. 2 years later. The forest floor was a blur of green and brown beneath her paws. The wind rushed past her ears. A wild, joyful song. Beside her, a massive black wolf ran in perfect, easy strides, his golden eyes bright with a happiness that mirrored her own. The change. Which had once been an agony of breaking bones and terror, was now as simple as breathing. One moment she was Rhea, the next, a wolf, every sense alive, every muscle singing with power. Her human mind and her wolf spirit were no longer at war. They were one, a perfect harmony of instinct and intellect. Deep down she knew the truth. This was who she was always meant to be. They ran for the sheer joy of it, their paws silent on the damp earth. The Blackwood was thriving. Their conservation efforts, a blend of her strategic planning and Draven's ancient wisdom, had worked. The forest was safe. It was healed. As if pulled by a string, they slowed to a stop in a sun-dappled clearing. Between one breath and the next, the familiar warmth of the change washed over her, and she was standing on 2 feet again, laughing as Draven shifted back into the man she loved. He watched her, and his heart felt so full, so at peace, a feeling he still cherished every single day. The memory of the tormented, lonely creature he had once been, nothing more than a distant ghost. Rhea had not just saved him from his prison, she had demolished it, letting in a sunshine so bright it had banished all the shadows. She stood before him now, confident and radiant. His equal in every way, his protector, his mate, his everything, her scent of wild flowers and rain. It was the scent of his home. He stepped forward and pulled her into his arms, burying his face in her hair. "I love watching you run," he murmured, his voice a low, happy rumble against her skin. She tilted her head back, her eyes sparkling with love and a familiar wild mischief. "I love having you to run with." He kissed her then. A slow, deep kiss filled with the quiet promise of 1,000 more sunrises, 1,000 more runs, 1,000 more moments just like this. It was a kiss that spoke of their shared past, their peaceful present, and their endless future. They stood there for a long time, wrapped in each other's arms, the silence of the forest a comfortable blanket around them. In their sanctuary, under the watchful eyes of the ancient trees, the ruthless lichen and the city girl he thought he would destroy had finally, completely, found their forever. Always, thank you so much for watching this video. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. If you enjoyed what you saw, we've got a whole library of other videos packed with more great content just like this waiting for you on our channel. So, why not dive into another one right now? And hey, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on our next upload, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. We'd love to have you join our community and see you in the next video. Thanks again.